Watch Finding in the Mark. Richard Murdoch, Kenneth Horne, Sam Costa, Maurice Denham, Maureen Risco, Helen Hill, and the dance orchestra conducted by Stanley Black.
Springfield Abbott Supervisor, can I help you?
Oh, yes, sir. Would you put me through to Maurice Denham, please?
Certainly, sir. You're through.
Hello. This is Beckenham. Kyo.
Oh, is it? Oh, I say, Denham, it's Slessor here.
Oh,
are you
yes.
doing anything on Friday?
Well, probably you cooked it too much.
I said, are you doing anything on Friday?
The Radio Revelers have recorded it, too.
Oh, I say, this is one of the worst lines I've ever known.
What line?
Much binding takes the air.
I'm sorry to have to tell you that Murdoch is not really fit yet. He was x-rayed yesterday, and although there were no signs of water on the knee, they did manage to drain off two large dry martinis, which may have been the cause of all the trouble. We hoped that his doctor would order him to stay in bed today, but a few minutes ago, a bath chair drew up outside, and out hobbled your old friend, Richard Murdoch.
How do you do, visitors? Welcome once again to Much Binding in the Marsh. After our trip to London and the circus last week, things have been a bit humdrum. However, we've had a fair here on the waste ground behind the Much Binding Arms. Normally, this waste ground is a complete waste of ground, except for people like Costa and Ivy Plackett. I heard Sam say to Ivy recently, "See you round the waist tonight, Ivy." She said, "Okay, Sam, are you going to take the shortcut or go the pretty way?" I've no idea what she meant. But this fair was wonderful, bang up to date with a groundnut shy and a slot machine called What the Daily Woman Saw. It was very interesting. Dudley and Miss Risco made straight for the ghost train and enjoyed it so much that later in the evening they decided to have another trip. They took some time finding it again, but they had a nice long ride and were very surprised to find themselves getting off the 6:30 a.m. at King's Cross. The sideshows were very popular, in spite of the rather awkward situation when the bearded lady mistook Costa for her long-lost daughter. I felt very sorry for this lady with her long beard, but in the end she laughed it off. Mr. Horne was most interested in the tattooed lady, whose anatomy was completely covered with a map of the world. He was so excited at finding Sidi Barani on her left shoulder that he let the rest of the world go by. Anyhow, it's thrilling to know that we can now get suits without coupons. Mr. Stitchwell, the local tailor, rang me up and said, "Now, what about a suit? No coupons." I said, "Well, it's all very well to have to find the coupons, but what about the money?" He said, "Well, it would work out a lot cheaper if you could find your own material for the lining." So I hit upon a splendid idea. I said, "Well, as I shan't be needing them now, you'd better line it with the coupons," and he's going to. After all, Stanley Black and the dance orchestra have for years been having their suits lined with old band parts, and they've just ripped open the seams of their demob suits and found that they're now in a position to play I Won't Dance.
Thank you.
come in. Ah, good morning, sir. It is good to see you.
Thank you, Murdoch.
Oh, sir, that circus last week. I mean, the lions, the tigers, and the smell
no,
of...
No, steady, steady, Murdoch. It's all over now.
Yes, sir, but I can't think of anything else. In fact, I won't have got over thinking about it until it's time to go again next year. We can go again next year, can't we, sir?
Well, if you feel like it, but personally I prefer a good play.
Oh, sir, you and your stodgy old plays. I mean, how can you possibly compare Macbeth with the lions and the tigers and the smell of the...
You don't see what I mean, Murdoch. Now, what has the circus got that Macbeth hasn't?
Well, sir, to begin with, there's the lions and the tigers.
No, Murdoch. Seriously now, how can you pretend to talk about the theatre when you've never even seen a play?
I've never seen a play? I have, sir. It was in London, too.
Well, where, Murdoch?
St. John's Parish Room, Twickenham. It was jolly good. It was done by the Girl Guides.
Oh. What was it called?
Journey's End. Sissy Scranthorpe's Hibbard was wonderful.
Really? I'm so glad. Well, it may be all right this way, but you ought to try Ibsen's Wild Duck. It always goes down well.
With green peas and stuffing, I suppose.
Oh, my. That's tantamount to...
Is it, sir? I'm sorry.
Well, what you don't realize is that Shakespeare is not all heavy stuff. I mean, listen to this light-hearted little piece from Hamlet. It's very amusing.
Oh, well, let's have it then, sir.
Yes, well, it's the ghost of Hamlet's father is talking to Hamlet, actually.
Is he?
Yes.
Oh,
yes. Now, could a tale unfold whose lightest word would harrow up thy soul, freeze thy young blood, make thy two eyes like stars start from their spheres, thy knotted and combined locks to part, and each particular hair to stand on end like quills upon the fretful porpentine.
Oh,
there you are, Murdoch. You see what I mean, don't you?
Oh, it's extremely comical.
I thought you'd like it, yes.
Do you know, I think if we gagged it up a bit, it'd do for up the pole.
Oh, good. Oh, really, Murdoch, your ignorance is abysmal.
Thank you, sir.
Yes. Incidentally, have you made any plans yet for the Bindbourne Festival?
Oh, yes, sir. The bookings are going awfully well down in the village. Mrs. Plackett sold packets of tickets.
Really, eh? Enough to suit all pockets?
Oh, buckets.
Good, good. Now, who are we going to get to perform the opening ceremony? We should have a different celebrity for each day of the festival, you know.
I quite agree, sir, and I've managed to get someone for the Monday.
Have you, Murdoch? Who?
It's a real scoop, sir.
Good.
Kevin O'Connor.
Oh, well, that's, who?
Kevin O'Connor, sir.
I've never heard of her.
Oh. Well, that's life.
Now, what about Tuesday?
Well, it's hardly worth having anyone on Tuesday, sir, because everyone will be at home listening to a little thing that...
Yes, I quite understand, yes. And Wednesday?
Well, I've got a list here, sir, that I wanted to submit for your approval.
Yes, thank you, Murdoch. And if I may suggest it, read the names out one at a time.
Yeah, I was going to, sir.
Yes, right.
Well, Philip Slessor.
No.
No, everyone said that. I must say, I'm rather inclined to agree. The reason I put him down is that he's sure to be doing nothing and he'd go anywhere for a sandwich and a cup of tea.
I still say no.
I still say you're right.
Good. Next?
Roderick Clifton.
Oh, definitely, yes. He should be a great draw, too.
Yes, I knew you'd say that, sir. I mean, after all, who hasn't heard of Roderick Clifton?
Yes, right, yes. Well, that takes care of Wednesday.
Yes.
Thursday?
Stanley Matthews, sir.
Yes, that's a good idea, Murdoch. It'll appeal to the cricketers. And, Now, what about Friday? And if I may say so, I think we should have someone of the opposite sex. Have you thought of Patricia Rock?
I very seldom think of anyone else.
Well, I will put her down.
I haven't picked it up yet.
Anyhow, Murdoch, it's a first-class idea. I'd like to see Patricia Rock in Much Finding.
Yes, sir. Not too much, you know.
No.
Well, that just leaves Saturday. By the way, I think we ought to consult the others, don't you? I mean, Costa might have an idea.
Well, get him in.
Right, sir. Costa!
You know, Murdoch, I only just caught the train today. The woman who cooks my breakfast was late.
Who's that, sir?
Bessie, actually. She had a suspension night at her bridge club, and she was feeling a bit under the weather.
Good morning, sir. Was there something?
Yes, Costa, we've been talking about Bindbourne and who's going to open it on the Saturday, and Mr. Horn suggested that you might possibly...
Oh, well, that's very nice of you indeed, sir. I much appreciate it, and Emily will be very pleased. And,
this is going to be very difficult, sir, breaking it to Costa that he's not going to... Would you like to have a crack?
Well, Murdoch, it's nice of you asking me to. I'm opening fates. I've done quite a lot of it.
No, sir, I mean breaking it to Costa that he's not going to...
Oh, I see, yes. Now, leave it to me. Right. Yes, leave it to me. Now, look, Costa, I know you pretty well, and we must get this opening of Bindbourne business quite clear. Murdoch may have given you to understand
Oh, it's quite all right, sir. I think I shall probably say, ladies and gentlemen, it gives me great pleasure to have been asked to open this festival, and first of all, I would like to say...
No, Costa, you haven't got the idea at all. We don't actually want you
Well, how about this, sir? Unaccustomed as I am to opening festivals...
And what Mr. Horn is trying to say, Costa, is that we don't expect you actually to open the festival. We want to... Oh, you tell him, sir.
Right. Now, Costa, look. 30 days hath September, April, May, and June definitely has. Now, so what I want to... How's Emily?
Well, she hasn't been too good, sir, but she'll be all right when she knows I'm going to open this festival.
I see. Well, Oh, take over, will you, Murdoch?
Certainly, sir. Costa, it's quite simple. Mr. Horn and I have been into this very thoroughly, and we've come to the conclusion it would be a great mistake for one of us to open the festival.
I see, sir. And that's why you want me to do it. Well... Well, when I opened the Jive Jamboree at Fenny Stratford, I started off, Your Grace, ladies
yes,
and...
Yes, now, Your Grace, Costa, who was that?
Duke Ellington, sir. then I said, it gives me very great...
Costa, look. Assume that you are not opening the festival, who would you choose to do it?
Well, sir, Victor Sylvester, for instance, he'd get there strictly on time. Then, then there's Morris Winnick, but of course he might not give himself permission.
What about Philip Slessor?
Oh, I don't think so, sir.
That's just what Mr. Horn and I said. Now, let's consult Dudley, shall we? Dudley! How are things in your garden, sir?
Oh, I've got quite a display of snowdrops and crocuses.
Polyanthus?
Yes, but not a word to... Oh, I will.
Good morning, sir. Dudley Davenport at your service, sir.
Ah, there you are, Dudley. We were just talking about Vinebourne. Who do you think should perform the opening ceremony on the Saturday?
Oh, well, sir, the name of Philip Slessor leaps to the mind, sir, but I can't altogether think that it would be a good thing.
No,
if
we've all agreed that would be fatal. Any other suggestions, Dudley?
What about Mr. Blake, sir?
Oh, but no one would ever hear what Mr. Blake said, Dudley.
I don't know, Mr. Costa. I heard him open the local swimming bath last summer, and he was very clear.
Well, give us an impression of him, Dudley.
Yes, I think he is. Yeah, we'd like to hear it, too.
Oh, well, very good, sir, though Mr. Blake is not one of my best impressions, sir.
Never mind.
Still, here goes. Mr. Blake opening the swimming bath.
Yes.
Oh, me, very 40 years old. I'm already dirty, I'm ready to sing you to the water in your sore. Nothing to the imagination.
Have you got any more impressions?
Well, yes, sir, I have, as a matter of fact, sir.
Oh, good. Well, let's have one.
This is rather a tricky one, sir.
Is it? Well, yes, I should like to hear it.
This is how it goes, sir.
Oh, dear. All this washing up.
Well, what was that?
Housemaid's knees, sir.
And is that all you're going to do? Got another one for us?
I got another one, sir.
Well, let's have it then.
Yes, sir. This one goes like this.
Ow! Ow! Ow!
What was that?
A thrashing machine, sir.
Oh. Well, now... About Vinebourne, we've all decided what we're going to do, have we, at the Costa?
Well, last week I did think of taking out the cello.
I see, and what happened?
Well, Emily was ill in bed, so I took up the breakfast instead.
Oh, Costa!
And then I tried out some scales, and that wasn't very good either.
Why not, Mr. Costa?
I caught my finger in the troy weight.
Sir, this is quite hopeless. Let's ask if Dudley's... Dudley, what have you done?
Well, sir, I haven't yet decided what I'm going to do at the festival, but I have painted a poster to advertise it, sir.
Oh, well, sounds wonderful. Now, let's have a look at it, Dudley.
Oh, all right, sir. Here it is, sir.
Oh. I see, I like the heading, don't you? Vinebourne or the Birth of a Vine.
Very but clever, yes.
What are those things in the bottom right-hand corner that look like squashed gooseberries?
Squashed gooseberries, sir. That's my trademark, sir.
Your trademark?
Yes, sir, don't you see, sir?
Oh, I see. I am a...
Fool, sir.
Very good, yes. Incidentally, sir, what are you going to sing at Vinebourne?
Well, I'm going to sing Carmen.
How does it go?
Oh, you know, Murdoch, it goes, come into the garden, Maud, come into...
Well, it's just what they'll want, sir.
Oh, thank you, Murdoch. Yeah. And what's your contribution to be?
I'm going
to
play Rubinstein's melody in F in C.
Well, why not in F, Murdoch?
Well, I shall be doing it as an encore to The Flight of the Bumblebee, and it'll save retuning the ukulele.
I see. Now, look, when are we going to rehearse all this stuff?
Well, I thought we might have a slight run-through this afternoon. I arranged for the band to be available.
All good, sir. Well, let's go over to the hall and get cracking, then.
Right up.
By the way, what's that peculiar thing you've got strapped on your body and that sort of fishing rod thing in your hat?
I'm rather glad you asked me that, sir. It's my latest toy. It's a new walkie-talkie.
Oh, good heavens. What will they think of next?
Probably a runny-tunny.
Yes. Or a trotty-totty. Well, now, come on, let's start walking and see if it works.
Right, sir, I'll switch it on.
How far do you have to walk before these things warm up?
Well, sir, once I had to walk all the way from Oxford Circus to Notting Hill Gate, and it wasn't till I got past Bond Street that it suddenly went...
K-I-N-G. Good night, everybody.
Gwen Catley's next recital will be next Tuesday. We are now taking you over to an encouragement factory at Egham. Listen to the Eggers on as they egg on Helen Hill as she sings Love's Melody.
Your muddy boots on my nice clean stage. I'm just sweating now. I've got to go all over it again. It's enough to make...
Now, look here, my good woman.
Don't you start calling me you're a good woman, or I'll clean you up as sure as my name's Ada Rampart.
Well, look here, Miss Rampart.
Mrs. Rampart, if you please. And I'll trouble you to tell me your business here.
Well, I'm from the BBC.
The BBC? Go on, you're not an announcer, are you?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I am.
You're not Stuart Ibbot, are you?
No, I'm Philip Slessor.
Oh. I was hoping you might be one of the well-known ones. I like that Franklin Engelman. I think he's ever so nice, don't you?
Oh, yes, he's all right. If you like that rather sing-song type of monotonous drawl.
Did you say you were Peter Fettes?
No, Philip Slessor.
Oh, what a pity, because he's ever so nice, too. Well, I suppose we ought to be thankful for meeting anyone from the BBC, really. As I said to Rampard, one of these days, you never know, we may actually see one of these broadcasting house gentlemen. All the same, it's a pity you're not Frank Phillips, because he's ever so nice. Let me see, what did you say your name was?
Oh, Jumping Jehoshaphat.
No, I can't say I've heard of you. Now, if you was over little...
Mrs. Rampard, will you kindly tell me where Mr. Murdoch and Mr. Horn are?
Well, I did hear them say they was coming over here to have a rehearsal.
Well, I hope they'll be quick, because I haven't got all day, and the BBC don't pay me just to hang around. Ah, there you are. Now, I think we'd better get on with this at once, because I'm a very busy announcer. Would you mind just standing there by the microphone, and we'll have a balance test. Engineers, we'll be going ahead in 10 seconds...
What are you talking about, sir? Ah, here's someone who knows. Who is this person, Mrs. Rampard?
He's a gentleman from the BBC by the name of Sisser. I was hoping it might be John Snegg because he's ever so nice. Oh, well, so tired of watching this.
Now, look here, Slessor. There must be some mistake.
Good heavens, this is infuriating. It really is. I had an interdepartmental memorandum this morning telling me to come to this out-of-the-way hole. It's taken me all day to get...
Slessor, you're speaking of the Marsh I love.
Oh, fiddlesticks!
Fiddlesticks, you hear that, Murdoch? BBC, and he uses filthy language like this. He'll find himself relegated to the bottom of the third programme unless he's careful.
Look here, Slessor, my name's Murdoch and this is Mr. Horn.
How do you do?
How do you do?
And this is Mr. Costa.
Well, that's your lookout. It's not my fault.
Who are you calling a lookout? I'll sue you for arson if you're not careful. Now, Dudley, get that microphone switched on and don't trip over the cable. We've got to get on with this rehearsal, you know.
Yeah, I quite agree, Costa. Will you try your song, sir?
Yes, certainly, Murdoch. Perhaps you'll let me know how the balance with the orchestra is, will you?
Oh, I will, sir, yes.
Right, thank you.
Carry on.
When I shout for triumphant pain, why the voices will be your pain.
No. Is too much voice and not enough orchestra,
right,
sir.
We'll try it again.
A bit further away from the mic, sir. Yes. Once again, please, Mr. Black. When I shout that loud in vain, no, I'm sorry, sir. You're still too near the mic. If you go a bit further away, a bit more orchestra, Mr. Black. Yes, much better, sir. Yes, fine now, thank you. What about you, Dudley? Have you got something suitable for Beinborn?
Well, sir, yes, I've written a special heavy opera for the occasion, sir.
Oh, good.
It's entitled Your Tiny Frozen Mitt. Now, sir, I'll give you an excerpt from the end of Act 17, sir. You see, the Princess of Cornucopia, she's known to her intimates as Ethel, is leaving her lover, the Prince of Chandelier, that's Herbert, but he doesn't want her to go, sir, you see? I'll sing both the parts, and then you can see how it goes, sir. Herbert sings first.
No, do not leave me. I cannot live without you.
Yes, yes, I must go.
No, you must not go.
Yes, yes, I am going.
For me, she is going.
I go. Oh, I've gone.
Murdoch, you realize it's your turn now, don't you?
No, I've got nothing, sir.
Yes, I know, Murdoch, but after...
I see what you mean, sir. Well, I'm going to start with an encore.
You can't start by singing an encore.
Ah, but I have sung it before, sir, and my mother asked if I'd sing it again.
Oh, well, that's quite good.
It's a little thing called Sabre Dance.
Oh,
When I was young, I often got a pain through eating too much jelly and cakes and elephant steaks and haricot beans and peppermint creams, and in the end, I always just went, "Thank you." It got so bad, my mother had a doctor to concoct a remedy, only 70 tats from calomel, which would very well cure me, but I always used to shout out, "Thank you." One, two, three, four. I used to curse my nurse because I knew to make things worse she'd very soon get, "I'm willing to bet just any odds she'd get centipods," and of course she did, and I would just go, and when they told my father, I knew he would then look rather sinister and administer such a hit upon where I sit upon, and of course he did, and I would just go, Now my song is nearly ended, so the least said soon is mended. What it's all about, I don't know. If I don't, I'm sure you won't know. Do your Christmas shopping early to avoid the hurly-burly. That is all I've got today, and so the time has come to say goodnight.
Sir?
Yes?
Sir, yes. If I may suggest it, sir, I think that after all that, the audience will probably be ready for a little really high-class music, sir.
What does he mean, Murdoch?
Well, I can only assume he's referring to a little thing that goes something like this.
And much grinding in the marsh.
I must say, I'm glad that this is over.
And much grinding in the marsh. If only we could rest, we'd be in clover.
I tell you what, let's make the others come here and rehearse.
I only hope the whole thing doesn't go from bad to worse.
So, Costa,
yes, sir.
Dudley,
sir.
Let's have the second verse.
Add much finding in the marsh. Add much finding in the marsh.
Thank goodness both those twerps have now departed.
Add much finding in the marsh. At last the two of us can now get started.
I think I'll catch the bus and go to Spagthorpe for a show.
But Mr. Horn and Mr. Murdoch mightn't let you go.
I'd like to see them stop me.
Costa?
Yes, sir, can I?
No! And much finding in the marsh. And much finding in the marsh.
It's comforting that clothes are off the ration. Tiddle-im-pom-pom.
That much finding in the marsh. We'll now be dressed up in the latest fashion.
Miss Risco's gone to Plackett's stores to go through all their stock.
The fur-lined trousers I have bought will give you quite a shock.
I'm going to cast all care aside and buy a second sock.
And much finding in the marsh, last verse, and much finding in the marsh.
We've all been asked to work a little harder.
And much finding in the marsh. We are out to help restock the country's larder.
The vicar's nimble fingers now some extra tasks have found.
For seizing opportunities, he's always been renowned.
He sits and darns his bed socks while the place is going round.
At much finding in the marsh. How'd you get there? Much finding in the marsh.
Good old gooseberries.
At much finding in the
You've been listening to Much Binding in the Marsh with Richard Murdoch, Kenneth Horne, Sam Costa, Maurice Denham as Dudley Davenport, Maureen Risco, Helen Hill, and the dance orchestra conducted by Stanley Black. Script by Richard Murdoch and Kenneth Horne. Produced by Leslie Bridgemont.